Are you persuaded? Is your heart set and sure that when he comes, where are you going to be? Turn with me to you in your Bibles to the 16th chapter of Luke. And I'm going to read, and then when I finish reading, if Brother Al would lead us as we pray together, Al Hunt, that God would speak to our hearts. I'm going to begin verse 19 in chapter 16 of Luke. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Beside, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus had bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, that is, the rich man said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rise from the dead. Now, well, seeing is believing. So the saying goes, seeing is believing. Does seeing really make a person believe? That's the question. What do you think of the scenarios that I'm mentioning here? There was a young high school student, and he was taking driver's ed. And in driver's ed, they showed the video of the horrific car crash, the mangled automobile, and the torn body of a high school senior who had died on his way home from the senior prom. The driver had been drinking. The young student watching the video said that I will never do that. Yet a few years later, he did. A young man stood over the bed of his grandfather, watched him as he struggled to breathe. He had cancer of the lungs, emphysema. That grandson said, even though he smoked, it'll never happen to me. And he continued smoking. The young lady in medical school studied and discovered that abuse of alcohol and drugs damaged the brain and the nervous system. Working in the emergency room, the hospital, she had first-hand opportunity to see the young teenager freaked out on meth. And to see a man in death throes from an overdose of crack. She later was addicted to prescription drugs. The question is, does seeing really make a believer? Does seeing really make a believer? You see, what does it take to convince a person that something is real if you haven't personally experienced it? You ever thought about that? What convinces a person that something is real if you've never personally experienced it? Now, the rich man found himself in hell, in a predicament that he thought that he could give the answer that would convince persons not there to change their direction. See, he thought he knew what would convince his brothers to avoid hell. As a matter of fact, he said, just let somebody rise from the dead and go and talk to them, and they will believe that person, and they won't come in to this place where I'm at. They won't have to suffer the pain that I did. Surely, if they see somebody risen from the dead, they'll repent and believe. They won't end up like me. But listen to Abraham's response. Abraham said, your brothers have Moses and the prophets. They have the written law and the prophets. Let them listen to them. In other words, let them listen to the teaching that they have available. If they do not listen to these, they will not be persuaded, though someone rise from the dead and talk to them personally. You know what he was saying? He was saying, even though Jesus rises from the dead, they still won't believe it. Still won't believe it. For Jesus is the one telling this story. Now notice, this is a story. It is not just a parable. This is not just a parable, but a real story that Jesus is relating. And he is saying that if you and I, that's you, that's me, do not believe the written word of God about the reality of hell, we wouldn't believe it if we were face to face with Christ himself. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Pretty strong statement, but that's what he's saying. He said we would not be convinced though the risen Christ stands in our midst and tells us. Remember, Jesus is the one speaking, and he says, hell is real. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven, because he didn't want people to go to hell. You see, my hope is that you will be convinced by the word of God of the reality of hell. And you'll decide this morning that you do not want to go to hell. And listen to this. You don't have to. You don't have to. Because there's provision made for you to escape hell. Hell is real. And it's a real place. Now that's something that people really struggle with, because they seem to think, well, this is just something that religious people have conjured up to keep people walking in somewhat of a halfway straight line. But listen. According to the Bible, hell is real. It's a real place, because the Bible says the rich man lifted up his eyes from this place. And then Jesus says that if God did not spare angels, or rather Peter was writing this, when they sinned, he said, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. In other words, it was a place. As a matter of fact, described as a gloomy dungeon. Jesus described it as being a place of outer darkness. But it's a place. It's real. Not something that anybody would really want to. You know, yeah, we hear people say, go to hell. Well, they don't even know what they're saying when they say that. And the truth is, nobody really wants to go to hell. Nobody really wants to go to heaven. To hell. You see, but hell is a place, and it's inhabited by real people. That's the tragedy. It's a real place inhabited by real people. The interesting thing about hell is that population is diversified. It's made up of a variety of people, and a variety. Well, it's even beyond people. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the fallen angels are in hell. The fallen angels are there, and people just like you and me. And there are people there whose actions are so despicable that we don't even want to talk about them, are there, as well as people who are pretty good. Pretty good. They're all there in hell. As a matter of fact, the rich man was there. And then the Bible says that everyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life is there. It's a place of great diversity as far as the people who were and who are now there. As a matter of fact, listen to the kind of people who are in hell. Now, I think I read this last Sunday, but I want to read it to you again. These are the people who are there. It says, but the cowardly. Now, listen to the second category, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderer, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic art, the idolaters and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The unbeliever is listed right alongside the liar and the murderer. Isn't that interesting? The unbeliever, right alongside. I want to ask you a question. Does this list sound like the kind of people you'd like to spend eternity with? Does that sound like the kind of neighbors you'd like to have for all the rest, never-ending time? It's not time, it's eternity. See, hell is real. And hell is populated by real people, just like you and me. Just like you and me. And it's a place of torment. It's a place of torment. Torment is something we don't like to talk about, but it says the senses, that is, our ability to see, hear, remember, think, feel pain, are still present. Even though what we call dead, as far as this world is concerned, but we are still alive in hell. And it says, the rich man declared, I'm in agony. That means he could feel what? Pain. That's right, he could feel the pain. He was in agony. Listen to Jesus. He said this, he said at the end of the ages, he said at the end of time, he says, the angels shall come forth and take the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into the furnace of fire. It's a place of real fire. And he says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Torment. Torment. Able to feel the pain. See, the physical torment of hell is bad, but the mental torment is terrible. The mental torment is terrible. You see, the rich man realized what it could have been. Now think about that. You know, how many times have we kind of looked back on our life and said, well, if we'd have made a different decision, how things would have been, you know, instead of just barely getting by, we'd have more money. You know, we all kind of did. Well, you know what? The rich man looked up and he saw what he could have been. For he saw, see, he could see. He saw that just like Lazarus, he could have been in the bosom of Abraham too. And he could have been enjoying the peace and joy of being with the Heavenly Father. See, when he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, he realized what he had missed. He realized what he had missed. But here's the trouble. It was too late. For the rich man. It was too late for the rich man. But I got good news for you. It's not too late for you. It's not too late for you. For you still have the opportunity to choose not to join the rich man in hell. Hell is real, but you do not have to go there. You see, the decision is yours. The decision is yours. You can choose not to go to hell. See, hell is where the rich man was tormented by remembering that his brothers were still alive and the possibility was his coming right where he was. He was tormented by the fact that he could not himself warn his brothers. Listen to what he said in verse 27 and 28. He said, I beg you, Father, that you send him, that is speaking about Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. In other words, he was concerned. Some people have said he became an evangelist while in hell, wanting to get his brothers the good news that they wouldn't have to come there. But Abraham said, I'm sorry. That can't be. That can't be. You see, hell is a terrible place of no escape. No escape. See, it's the eternal home of non-believers. Did you hear what it said? The eternal home of non-believers. Separated from God and all that is good. You know, we hear people say things like, well, I'll be with my friends. The thing is, and the tragedy is, according to Scripture, that we're going to be, if we're in hell, it's outer darkness, you won't even be able to see your friends. And the tragedy is that they're there for all eternity with nothing good. God is not present in hell, nor are there decent, good people. Always separated. For all eternity. Now remember, this is not what is referred to as purgatory. Hell is not a place that people can go into the church and light candles and pray for those who have died and said they'll be able to be transferred out to heaven. No, there is no praying a person out of hell. For it's eternal. It's eternal. Listen to what Abraham said back to the rich man. He said, and beside all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed. In other words, there's a great distance here. So that those who want to go from here to you cannot. Nor can anyone cross over from there to us. In other words, once you've arrived in hell, there is no moving out. For you see, you have signed with the devil an eternal lease that cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. Why did the rich man go to hell? That's often the question. Why did the rich man go to hell? How did he end up there? Really, because he simply ignored God's plan of salvation as recorded in the Bible. Now many people forget that the Old Testament revealed to people how they could find God. And in the day of Jesus, there was hope. Just as there's hope today. He rejected God's plan as presented in the Old Testament. And you know what? If you ignore, like the rich man, God's presentation of salvation through Jesus, you too will end up with the rich man. See, it is not the will of God that any go to hell. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, the Bible says, it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. That's God's plan. He wants you to escape hell. That's the reason we read these wonderful words from the lips of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. See, Jesus came that you and I not have to go to hell, that we have eternal life with him. The question is, even though God doesn't want you to go to hell, are you like the rich man, ignoring the pleas and promises of God's word? Are you ignoring his word today? If so, it's time to change your mind and heart. The psalmist wrote, now this is what happened to the rich man, and it can happen to you and me as well. See, the psalmist wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The rich man said, I am wealthy, I will never want. The law said, you shall love the Lord your God and always keep his commandments. And the rich man said, I will love myself and follow my desires. Know anybody like that that you ever see in the mirror? The law said, love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich man just ignored his neighbor, Lazarus. He didn't beat him up. He didn't stomp on him. He just ignored his neighbor. And the Lord said, speaking through the lips of Isaiah the prophet, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The rich man knew that. But he said, no need for discussion. I'm okay. How about you? Do you feel that way? I'm okay. I don't need to talk to God about my relationship. I'm okay. I'm okay. I really don't need to attend Bible study and Sunday school. I'm okay. I do not need to be regular in worship or fellowship. You see, I'm okay. I don't need to be involved in ministry and service of the kingdom of God. I'm okay. I don't need to pray daily and read God's word. I'm okay. I'm okay. And the Bible says in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And you know what? The rich man said, it won't happen to me. But it did. Because, see, he just ignored God's plan. See, the rich man wasn't in hell because of his wealth. It wasn't his wealth that put him in the prison called hell. Nor is there any record here that he was an obnoxiously evil man. His behavior did not appear to be such that was why. He was just living the normal life of a prosperous person. For Luke records, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Why, he was just enjoying his wealth. Wouldn't you do that? That's what he was doing. He was in hell because he ignored God's plan for his life. You see, he just followed his own plan rather than the plan of his creator God. And he forgot. He just didn't realize that God was the one who would give him all of his wealth and made it possible for him to enjoy such a wonderful, bountiful life. He failed to recognize that life on earth was not all that there is. He was satisfied. Are you? He was just simply satisfied with the things the way they were. Satisfied. What about you? See, he was centered on himself. What about you this morning? Is your life so centered on you that you don't have time for God? For His plan? Now remember, the self-centered plan is whose plan? The devil's plan. And remember, if you follow the devil's plan, he wants you to spend eternity with him. And do you know where he's going to be for all eternity? In hell. And may I remind you, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. No. You see, hell is no place for you. Hell is no place for you. As a matter of fact, hell was not prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angel. And he's diffused, and he's conceived, or rather, confused and deceived many to follow him. See, you have the opportunity today to choose heaven as your eternal home. You don't have to go to hell. See, you can repent this morning and turn from your self-centeredness, and you can allow the Lord Jesus to enter your life, to guide you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you can receive the gift of eternal life today. Today, you can have the assurance and no fear of hell. And you can say right along with the psalmist in the 23rd Psalm, you remember what his last line said? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you say that this morning? If you cannot, you can receive Christ. And you can let him come in and absolutely give you assurance that heaven will be your home. That hell is no longer to be concerned nor feared, because heaven will be your home. It's time to let Jesus come into your heart.